put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Welcome to season 3 of BYO Blanket, a yoga podcast where we get cozy and discuss interesting topics to uplift, inspire, and contribute, all inside a blanket fort. Before we start, let's go over to Junon for a quick message. Junon?
Thank you so much, Maria. Welcome, BYO Blanket listeners. I want to tell you something that I hope you don't click the fast forward 30 seconds button on. Go to patreon.com/BYOblanket and become a patron. Y'all, I just came back from the post office mailing out the BYO Blanket swag for the month to the patrons, and I will say I didn't keep any of the swag for myself, and I'm really jealous because it's pretty cool stuff. And and so if you become a patron, you can do it for as little as $1 a month, and it helps us keep the show going, because you know we do this outside of our regular careers. So if you can help us keep it going, that would be great. $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you want to contribute, you will get stuff mailed to you, and that's just a cool bonus. But the real gift is that, you know, you're contributing. So go contribute. Patreon.com/BYOblanket and review us on iTunes.
Please do.
Back to you, Maria.
Thank you, Junon, and welcome listeners to our episode. As usual, we have a very exciting and amazing guest ninja
zooming in from Denver, Colorado. She's here in the blanket fort with us,
virtual blanket fort.
We're in a blanket fort and her face is on our screen. You guys, we got Raven Brown. Hey Raven.
Hi Junon. Hi Maria. Hi, listeners.
We're excited to have you, dude. So,
we're so excited to have you.
I work with Raven via Big Power Yoga, yet we work in different cities. I'm in the Houston side, Raven's in the Denver side, and we're both teachers, and you also help run the social media stuff, which I'm the head of that over on the Houston side. So it's pretty cool working with the Rave, as I call her.
The Rave. Also, fun fact, the only class I have taken at the Denver studio has been your class.
So, yeah.
I was just talking to Laura about that this morning. So, we were doing our Zoom class this morning, and she's like, "Have you ever met Maria?" And I was like, "Actually, yeah, way back when I was teaching 6 a.m."
Yep.
Well, tell the listeners a little about yourself, Raven, so they can get to know you past just, you know, me always talking about Big Power Yoga over and over and over again.
Yes, of course. So, I am, like, I love to introduce myself with my identities, not that they necessarily matter, and they actually do paint a pretty good picture of what my life has been like and who I am. And so I like to say that I am a queer woman of color, and some titles that I wear are definitely yoga teacher, first and foremost. I consider myself a social activist, and I am a graduate student of social work, which is extremely exciting, and excited to start that career. And like, first and foremost, just a human, a super messy, fucked up, imperfect, doing my best human being.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that we identify with that latter one as well, for sure.
Human. I call myself a fake adult sometimes.
Human. Yeah. Yeah, we're all definitely just our, like, 7-year-old selves, yep, with adult responsibilities.
Yes.
Oh, you nailed the head of the nail. Oh my God, what is that phrase? You hit the nail on the head. There we go.
The nail. Perfect. Of the head. Yes.
Well, hey, this episode in particular is something that we're really excited to put out because, you know, we, with everything that's happening in the country right now, like, we're going to release this episode probably within just a couple of days of recording this with you, Raven. Mm-hmm. And I felt it was appropriate that instead of just going down the path that we were going of really randomly booking people on that we just happened to talk to, that we got really purposeful with who we had on next so that we could put more things out there that which educate folks on what's going on in the Black Lives Matter movement and just what's going on in that realm of our lives in general. So we really, really appreciate you. It's taking the time. This is probably not the most convenient time for you, but you made the time to do it. And I'm really excited for our listeners to absorb whatever you have to gift to us today. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm like truly so honored that when you thought of that, that you thought of me.
Hell yeah.
And hell yeah. And just like that, yeah, that of all the people that could have something really inspiring to offer right now. And like you're saying, this was very intentional that I'm the person that came to mind. And regardless of the timing, like I truly believe that these kinds of conversation and this is just my life's work. It's why I teach yoga too. Yeah. Like social justice is truly at the heart of everything that I do. And so timing doesn't matter to me. I'm like, I'm just excited to get to contribute right yeah. now in whatever way that I can. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, can yeah. you tell us and tell the listeners what, oh my God, what do you want to talk about today specifically?
Like introduce the topic yeah. for us.
Yeah. So I would love to just talk about what ongoing inclusion looks like and feels like in the yoga world. Mm. Yeah. What it looks like to have everyone have access to yoga, to have everyone feel like yoga is for them, to have everyone see themselves in yoga and be ready to participate and like in whatever realm that looks like. And also have people get that, because inside of that is that yoga is more than a physical practice, right? Mm-hmm. I've announced some plenty of minority identities, plenty of marginalized identities. And though one privilege that I have is like, I have an able body. And so I get to do, and Baptiste power yoga is the kind of yoga that can be adapted for anyone, right? Yeah. Like you guys know that. And though like that's something I don't have to worry about mm. in my daily life on a regular basis. I can go in there and have a really physical, challenging practice and it looks like me doing all the poses. And looks like me doing handstands and up leveling the poses, taking binds and doing all kinds of crazy shit. It doesn't look like that for everyone. And yeah. so yeah. for people who feel like, you know, that's what they see and that it's not approachable for them, like, and like, what is approachable for them? You know, like what kind of conversation can we call people in to have people feel like they're ready for it and ready to step into it.
Yeah.
And cause I think that it will change, you know, it will change their lives and change the world for sure.
I love that. Raven, I'm wondering, I actually don't know this, but what made you get into teaching yoga or yoga in general?
Yeah, I've been a yoga practitioner for about 6 years. And I mean, my very first yoga class was 8 years ago, but you know, I don't know how y'all's entrance into the yoga world was, but mine, and from what I've heard of most people, it was not a very smooth, consistent entrance. It was like, let's try this out. What the hell is this? I don't know. I kind of like it. Let's go back a month later. I don't know. This was really hard. So it was a little shaky. And I was really, actually, I just went to the gym every single day and I was a weightlifter and I hated stretching. And so I just started going to yoga every other day instead of stretching and just fell in love. When I really started going consistently, it was Ashtanga yoga that I was cool. practicing. And I was just excited to see like my practice growing. And then I was also hearing really great things in the class that I was inspired by. And I was telling you guys, I was listening to Laura's episode last night. And I love how she was saying that like she was leaving in a better mood. Mm-hmm. Like who she was walking out of the class as was different than who she was walking in as. And I was definitely noticing that in college. My senior year of college, I was about to drop out of college. My senior year, I hated some of my professors. I was really discouraged. Jenna and I also went to art school.
I feel you.
So yeah, I was like, these people suck. They don't understand what I'm trying to do.
Yep.
Just angsty. And yoga is really like what kept me pushing and kept me like having good perspective, and it made time slow down too. Suddenly I wasn't like stressed out about all the things that I had to do. And, And I was like, I'm going to teach this. I just knew, like, from the second I was doing the Ashtanga class, and I started asking about teacher trainings. And so right after graduating college, I went into teacher training, my first teacher training.
Now, has there been any, what have you found in your journey in becoming a yoga teacher and a yoga practitioner? Has there been any very specific benefits of the practice in terms of how you show up in the world as a person of color and a queer person?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that if anything, you know, like the space that I was in, that I was just talking about, my senior year of college, was really like wanting to use my voice and use my perspective. So a lot of my work in college was actually, as my senior year was, had a lot of social and political statements to it. And I was feeling very overlooked and like it wasn't important. And I think at that point I was feeling very much like I have something to say, but like, is anyone going to listen? Is it useful? Is it a contribution? Like, do people want to hear it? And the thing that I think that yoga has given me, and teaching yoga specifically has given me, is that that yes, people do, and that people especially want to see people that look like them, and that, you know, and one thing I love about Baptiste Yoga and Big and you guys and teachers at Big and myself is that we're very grounded in our humanity also. And so I'm not showing up trying to be anything other than who I am. Mm. And so alongside of that, like, comes my identities as well, you know, but I'm just like showing up being a human. I'm not trying to be a guru or like some spiritual like leader that people follow or have everything perfect. And so I think that that is what makes people really like drawn to this practice, mm-hmm. and is what makes it accessible for everyone to be able to hear themselves in me and in their teachers.
So the union, that's what it is. Yoga is union, and that's what I've experienced, is if teachers grounded in their humanity, as you say, it doesn't matter, actually doesn't matter what they look like, I will find something very deep inside each of us that is 100% the same and aligned, and at the same time it's important for us to have teachers that represent all what humans look like on the outside too, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that like your voice, what you have to say, is going to be dictated by your life experience, right? Mm-hmm. And a huge part, you know, I mean, I wish this weren't true, and it is simply true because of this is just the world that we live in. But a huge part of your life experience is dictated by your identities and how the world sees you and what you're doing in the world. And so, yeah, I think like if you had all people that look the same on the outside, they would have different things to talk about, of course, because they would have variations, like variations of the things that they've experienced in their life. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't necessarily have like overall the same social and political world life experiences that someone who looks differently on the outside would have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. I think most people, and myself included, I often forget that even though Junaan, for example, didn't grow up in South America in the 90s, there's still commonality between how we grew up, even though, again, two completely different worlds. And I can sit here for hours and tell you how they were all so different. And at the same time, like the core of everything, like, you know, at some point we felt happy. At some point we laughed. At some point someone was mean to us. At some point we were pissed at our parents. At some point we got in trouble. And there's just very basic human emotions and experiences that at the core are the same, and we forget that. Mm-hmm. And we forget to use that as a like common ground to relate to other people that on the outside superficially look so different or seem so different.
Well, in knowing this, and you know, in knowing once someone gets into yoga, like us three in this blanket four, and probably everyone who's listening is like, yeah, I totally got that, like day one of yoga, amazing. I think the work now is getting the yoga out to folks that haven't yet experienced that, you know? Like, there, I'm sensing right now that there's action that needs to be taken in the world by everyone. And when I say everyone, I mean people on people of all colors, and very much especially, and I'm speaking from the seat of someone who has privilege, but people who have privilege, I feel like really need to take action right now. So, Raven, to folks who have privilege, and we could just say white people if we want, but I mean, there's folks more than just this color of their skin that have different privileges, of course. Like we, me neither, me and Maria are neither like white people, and yet we enjoy a lot of privileges that we were given.
Yeah, same.
So for those of us who are privileged and have not really taken very much action yet in terms of spreading the good word of yoga, what would you say to those folks right now? What, like, are there specific actions you would encourage? Yeah, I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
Yeah, I think like getting into conversations with people is the easiest access. Like, and using accessible language also. Like, you know, I wouldn't go to my stepmom, for example, who I think has a, I can see an opening there with her. And I wouldn't go to her and start talking about yamas and niyamas. I wouldn't use that language, at least. I would talk about the yamas and niyamas, and I likely wouldn't use that language, because I think that and this is true of like, it, like all like education, right? Like if you have an education in something and someone else doesn't, you just need to approach them in a way that they can understand and it's accessible to them. And once like I would start talking with her about that and she's like in conversation with me about it, then I could tell her, you know, where I'm learning that from, and then gauge interest in, and already they're in the world of yoga already without doing any physical asana pose practice.
Yeah.
You know, they're already being introduced to higher yogic concepts, which really are the point. And oftentimes physical practice is a great access to that, because like we've been saying, like, we are human.
So you're saying like someone who may like have a conversation with someone who may, and I don't want to say like they're on the wrong side of history, not like that, but more so like they purposefully or not purposefully are contributing to violence. Are you talking about have conversations with those folks and inviting them to yoga? I don't know your stepmom,
well,
so I don't.
So
So I don't know.
That's
who you're
not my
about.
Stepmom. And yes, that's not what I was saying. And also yes.
Okay.
I think that that you know, that is a slightly trickier, and I feel like, but though I feel like it's similar in the same, in the way that you use people's humanity and their own life experiences as an access to educating them, because people want to see, they're not, this is so unfortunate, and oftentimes we're not really like, we don't, our listening doesn't turn on until we like hear ourselves in it.
Yeah.
Like, what is, where do I fit into this?
Yeah.
And so, that's more so what I'm, that's the common thread between the, what I was mostly talking about with my stepmom and now this idea of the people who like really need yoga the most.
Yeah.
That is, that's it. Like looking at where in their life they're already either looking for that or needing it.
Yeah.
And applying it to them, like really speaking into their experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I love about this conversation is that none of us here have answers to this. Like, this is a huge thing that's been happening for a long time, which used to discourage me in a way where I was like, well, I can't really do anything about that. Like, all I can do is, you know, do my best each day to, you know, shift anyone I meet toward peace and nonviolence. And while that totally was enough back then, like, I'm not bemoaning that whatsoever, there could be more specific things that I could be doing and just haven't asked questions yet, or haven't wondered, huh, how do we change the entire system that we live in? You know,
That's a big question.
Especially as just an individual. But I love what you're saying about having conversations with folks, because we've been requested to be in listening this week. Like a lot of the folks who of privilege have just been requested to listen. And so, and we all know, like, our listening, as you say, it's what shapes than what we end up doing and saying, because you got to yes. be able to see yourself in something. But as far as, okay, so we've got, for me and Maria, at least, check, we are listening.
Well, it's not even just we're listening. I think the idea for me, what was really exciting is like, oh, we have a podcast. We have at least some listeners. You know, we're not reaching 8 billion people. And we still have this platform that we can help, you know, just honestly amplify voices that need to be heard and we are, have the conversation.
We are reaching 8 people.
I know.
We have a strong audience of 8, Raven, just so you know.
I love that. You'll have more after this. I'm going to share this, of course. I'll always share your podcast. Cool.
And also, thanks. I'm kidding. We have more than eight people
listening.
But okay.
We love you guys.
So I would still be happy to be on here if there were 8 people, because like you're saying, it actually starts with, like, you know, and I'm just one of the most political people that I know. So, like, I'm going to just probably tie this conversation to politics a lot, which is insane. If you would have asked me in my, like, younger years if I were political at all, I would be like, no, until I realized how much directly my life was affected by politics. But it's like everything starts local, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to, I mean, most people do. We vote in, like, the presidential election as well. And we, like, look at big politics also, and though it starts small. And so, like, if there were only 8 listeners, like, that's where it starts, you know. So
well, you know, you can, if you want to, take out the word political from hashtagging your conversations, because, man, this is human issue. These are human issues.
Yeah, this is not politics.
And it just so happens to be, like, we have to, it needs to be affected on the government level as well, and that's where it can sound like politics. But this isn't politics anymore. And I know, as, like, a fellow yoga instructor, especially working, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with big, but just working in almost any work environment, we're as humans instructed not to bring politics into the workplace. You know, and I think that's been a way that folks have kept this out of the limelight. The past 2 days I've been like, you know what? I'm going to check. I'm listening. And also I'm going to just speak up, even if I'm not too sure if I know the answers or not. I'm just going to say something. So have you found that as a yoga teacher of color that you have, that you've been putting in more quote unquote politics into your teaching? And if so, has that been making, like, what effect has that been having?
Well, so, I mean, I think where my mind is maybe, like, thinking slightly different than what I feel like, speaking of yoga being a union, I really feel that, like, humanity and politics are just, like, you are one, which is like what you're saying and also not. And so it feels like impossible for me to live in this body and my life experience in anybody, even if my identities were different, just to be a human alive right now and not be related to politics or not be somehow speaking by just speaking my experience, not somehow be speaking about the political experience also.
Okay.
So I don't directly, and again, I'm a graduate student of social work, so most of my politics are social politics, which is, of course, just very human. So I don't typically directly speak about politics other than just encouraging people to vote, because that has a direct effect on their life, everyday life, and their humanity. But otherwise, no, I just speak from, like, my human experience, and again, like I was saying, look at other people's human experience. And like Maria was saying, there's always a common thread. And just because my identities are different, might be different than someone else's, there is a common thread. And so looking at them and then relating that to me and then relating that to us and then relating that to the bigger world and the bigger picture, and that's when it starts to get political, right? That is, like, that's usually what I talk about. And that's usually what makes people be like, oh yeah, yoga, I see that this is more than just a physical practice, more than just a workout.
Yeah. Like, and then in what I'm hearing is, in doing that and taking that stand as a teacher, that folks will heal from the inside out in whatever way they specifically need to, in order to drop any sort of like struggle or needing to be right, or is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, like have their own individual healing and honor other people's own individual healing.
Yep.
You know, and that, and acknowledge that they're different yet somehow the same.
Yep. Paradox.
Something just occurred to me.
Yeah.
And it was going back to, Raven, what you were just saying about, like, politics and humanity being one. And I've been on the same boat as Junon, as I tend to keep them separate because I can't deal. You know what I mean? It's almost like an overwhelming sensation to just even attempt to tackle politics, or is my voice really going to matter? And I remember there's this comedy TV show where like the dean of this community college comes out as gay, and like the entire episode seems like it's going to be about that. And at the end, he's in a press conference and he comes out as political, and he talks about how being
he wasn't
political.
Actually gay. He pretended to be.
Yeah. So he can join the school board.
He can join the school board.
And it was this whole. Yeah. It's a comedy. So. But this, like,
okay, thank God. I'm like, I have some feelings about that, but we will get into that.
Yeah. There's this point where he says, I'm coming out as one of the most marginalized people, which is political, being political. And it just actually hit me that that's actually kind of true. Like, accepting or labeling yourself or identifying yourself as political can have really weird connotations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I like avoided it as a teen. Like I was like anarchy, like as a teen, you know. And I'm like, but even that is innately political.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Yeah. It's the opposite. But yes.
The only thing that isn't political would be, I think, apathetic, and that's
a cat.
Yes.
And honestly, a lot of my life, I've just been like, I'm apathetic to world events, and because it's the easier way to live. And we all know in this blanket fort as yoga teachers that easy doesn't mean ease. Like it doesn't mean it isn't, it definitely isn't standing up for what we believe in. It's sitting down for meh.
Well, it's like immediately safe. Like it's like for the short term, it's safe. Cause like if I say this, then it's not gonna cause any like immediate uprising. And like long term, it's can be definitely, like I'll say, the opposite of ease bound.
Yeah.
And I think like, you know, what like where I stand and as a yoga teacher, and like I was just saying at the very beginning of all this, like first and foremost as a human, is that like people have taken the humanity out of politics.
Yeah.
And that's why it feels like polarizing to like you can't have both. But in actuality, like they have to coexist together, or else like neither one will work.
Yeah.
If they don't work together.
So right before we started recording this episode, and I asked like, oh, if you could name the episode anything, what would you name it? And you had a really beautiful phrase that we're definitely going to name the episode now. Mm-hmm. And you said it was the coloring in of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say a little bit more about that? Because I really, it intrigued me in exactly what you meant. And we've talked about it a whole bunch for the past 30 minutes already. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to hear exactly like, where you were going with the coloring in of yoga.
Yeah. So, you know, that people need to see themselves in something to have their listening turned on, you know, to even just have that first spark and that first foot in the door, they need to be able to see how is this going to impact me? Do I belong here? What's in it for me? You know? And so I think that the more we actively seek to diversify yoga, and not just like the people, yes, the people that are practicing in the studios, and also like the leadership in studios, what you see on magazines, on television, the entire representation of yoga in general. That is the access to having it be a diverse and accessible world for everyone. Like I want to see people who are experiencing homelessness, who are in financial crisis, who have disabled bodies, who are all different colors, all different orientations, like from all different countries, and when that happens and it's that diverse, that's when it starts on that small singular person, local, if you will, level, and can they'll take their experiences in their yoga out into their communities and then into their cities and then their country. And that's when it will be an accessible, fully colored in practice for everyone. There's something for everyone in it.
How do you propose we make that happen? Let's just let's make it happen. So what do we do? What's the next step?
Step number one.
What's the next step for us? What's the next step for anyone listening? Maybe there's some studio owners out there or something like that. I'm not sure the exact people that are listening, but like, what would you say needs to happen like on the court?
I want people who are in the yoga world to actively seek people out who like actively calling people in, like, and sharing what they're up to also, you know, like, when people see that someone in their life, like someone that they know is doing it, they're more likely to do it.
Yeah.
And so inviting people that look different than you, like making it a point to do that. And in a larger scale, like if you're a studio owner or a leadership in a studio, speaking up and actively seeking to hire people and have people practicing in your studio and that are of all different backgrounds and life statuses. If that means like having community classes, like having free classes once a month or something, having all different types of classes that are accessible to all different kinds of people, or just like going out and like being on foot in action in your community and places that spaces you wouldn't normally occupy.
Yeah.
That's what it takes.
Hell yeah.
That's a great action item for all of us.
Yeah, I just had a million ideas pop into my head. I know. So thank you for that, Raven. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so, me too. I need to get to work on that as well.
Hey, one day at a time, we all do our best. Take actions that you know in the moment. Like, for example, coming on this freaking podcast. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And getting this out to the hundreds, maybe thousands of folks that listen. Now, we're about to wrap up the show here, and I'd love for each of us to go around and give one last little nugget to the listener.
The golden nugget.
That they can leave this episode with. Who wants to go first?
Dun, 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 dun.
This goes. I'll go first.
Yay.
Since I just said that nose goes thing. I deserve to go first after that.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it.
I want people to know that their humanity and all the things that make that up, all of the ways that that looks, makes a difference.
Oh, that was good. I like the essential language on that too.
I know.
Thank you.
Wow.
You got something, Maria?
I do. I am inviting our listeners to seek out opportunities to find common ground and understand and see and listen people who superficially seem different or look different.
Yep. The last thing I'll say is that to look out at the people that you think are just super wrong and terrible, evil in any way. And I don't know who you're thinking of right now. I'm not speaking to any specific person. But for what people do with their actions, of course, we can stand up and say no if what they're doing is violent. And the actual person somewhere deep, 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 deep within is just a little kid who's really scared and has no freaking way, no way out, and they don't know how to act. So coming from a place of compassion, and then just knowing that, like, when you stand shoulders to shoulder with your fellow human for what you know is right, for peace and nonviolence and prosperity for all, that you are not diminished. You're actually amplified when you stand up next to anybody. And by giving people the peace and prosperity that you want for yourself, it's infinite, so it can't go away from you when you give it out to other people. So just know that when we're, especially in this particular movement that's gaining a lot of traction right now, Black Lives Matter movement, it doesn't mean anything in terms of like someone is better than anyone else. It actually just means we've got to put our attention here on this, because this is the part of the collective human body that's bleeding, you know?
Powerful.
Thanks. I had a lot of coffee. which you're like, is the fuel
to... I have
to,
one thing to say.
which is often the fuel to me talking a lot. So thank you for allowing me to say that. Thank you, Maria, for being my co-host. And thank you, Raven, the Rave Brown, for the coming rave. On. The
thank
show.
You both so much for having this podcast in general, for choosing to use it in this way, and for inviting me, for thinking of me.
Yeah.
I appreciate that so much. You guys are such great humans. Thank you.
You're a great human.
You're a great human. I'm a great human. Listener, you're a great human. We love you guys. Remember, patreon.com/BYOBlanket. I want to give a couple of shout outs here before we completely end the show. Y'all check out the Melanin Yoga Project. They do really great work here in Texas. It's just spelled like how it sounds, Melanin Yoga Project. and it's not happening in the States, but Africa Yoga Project over in Kenya has a bunch of online offerings every week. And they're doing a Black Lives Matter protest over in Kenya because they've been having issues with police brutality as well. So check out Africa Yoga Project. And then, of course, you can have a class from Raven by going to Big Power Yoga, signing up for a very cheap membership for the online classes, and you can take her classes from anywhere in the world. Just check out bigpoweryoga.com for that.
From experience, her classes are great.
It's dope.
Dope class.
Thanks, guys.
Her chakras are so aligned.
We're doing our best. I'll say that.
Okay, well, we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank, thank you. And with you, all that, you. We say goodbye.
Bye.
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 BYO Blanket is a production of The Light Generation.
The BYO Blanket jingle was composed and produced by Studio Sassafras Music in Houston, Texas.
And the vocals are by Jessica Zoller. Thanks for listening. Blanket Ninjas.